You are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
I'm really privileged to share with us one of our core values as a movement. Victory Metro East is not just about Metro East. Victory Metro East is a global church. This is not just a local church, but a global church, and we will tell you more about that. We grew up as part of this movement when I was a student way back during 2 decades ago, when I was 18 years old. I've been convinced by this group of missionaries that I'm not just a Filipino Christian, I am an international Christian. I said, what do you mean international Christian? Because you're going to be sent to the world. And we believed them because we were students, we didn't have money, and we can easily believe them, okay? There's nothing much to leave behind. My mountain bike? And so we believed them, man. We applied for our passports. Even we didn't, you know, we have to look for our, we didn't have NSO then. You know, we have to go research our birth certificate somewhere in the remotest part of our province just to find our birth certificate and apply for our passport. We applied passport even though we didn't know yet where to go. We were convinced by this group of missionaries that we are international Christians. We're designed. We have maps all over the place, huge map in University Belt, and we believed them. We were so naive, we believed them. And so parents are just scratching their heads. Why are you doing this? And then decades later, I was given a chance to go visit some of the churches, Every Nation churches worldwide. We are called Every Nation all over the world. I mean, our international movement is called Every Nation. It is our name, and it is also our mission statement. Every Nation, okay, that is the scope of our direction, of our movement, Every Nation. And here in the Philippines, we're called Victory. Victory Philippines, or here in Metro Manila, we're one church, Victory Manila, with multiple congregations spread out all over the city, and this is one of them. And we're just excited about what God is doing. And several years after that, I was able to get the chance to go and travel and it's different places I get to speak. And I've noticed in Latin America, when we went there with Pastor Luther, you know, Pastor Steve says, Ferdy, Luther, why don't you come here and prove to the Latinos that, you know, Christians from the third world can come and bless other third world countries. They always look up to Americans. We're going to erase that. You guys come here, pay your own ticket, and you come down here and show them that God can use people from every color. So we flew, you know, half of the globe, and Pastor Luther and I, what a joy to have Pastor Luther, you know. And then we went in there, and true enough, I've received comments afterwards and says, you know, Pastor, you look like Bruce Lee. And I said, who told you, man? I said, what, the darker version of Bruce Lee? And then... So that was amazing. And then one time I had a friend, his name is Philip Pretorius, one of our, you know, young apostolic leader in South Africa, in Johannesburg, in Pretoria. He invited me to come and speak to his church and to the pastors in the pastor's school. And true enough, I've received comments. He says, you know what? You look like Bruce Lee. Yes. I said, man, this is truly an apostolic face. And so we can go incognito. And, you know, Pastor Michael Paderis spoke in our church this morning. I was listening to him, okay? And literally, his face saved him. And he explained why. Because when he was in Russia, Pastor Omeng used to have long hair. You know, I don't know if you know Pastor Omeng. He really looked like a half Filipino, half American Indian, okay? So he was attacked by the neo-Nazis in Russia. When they were in Moscow, when they were missionaries. But Pastor Michael, he has never been attacked. He's smaller, thinner, never been attacked by the neo-Nazis. You know why? The same thing with me. He looked like Bruce Lee, man. So one of the guys, when he was in the elevator, you know, a guy came in, you know, the glasser, you know, misplaced, and his blood was, you know, his shirt was wide open because somebody attacked him. And when he saw Pastor Michael in the elevator and says, sir, can you teach me Kung Fu? And he said, so since he's a missionary, he couldn't lie. So if he says yes, then there's nothing to share and teach. But if he says no, then he might be attacked by the neo-Nazis. So he said, in Russia, he said, I don't think I can do that. I'm too busy. So, and the guy said, whoa, please. Then in their community, and then apparently he told the rest of the other people there. One time he was walking and a group of young men approached him and said, sir, would you please teach us Kung Fu? He looked at them and in Russian he says, I don't think so because I'm busy. So he walked in, and true enough he says, my face saved me from the neo-Nazis because, you know, Pastor Omeng was really attacked. He was blooded and he was... So anyways, the point is, I think being our color, our, you know, even our history as a Filipino people, we've never had any history of aggression. We've never had an international war. Why? Because we're just very hospitable. We're very, you know, we're very relatable as a group of as people. And so the world loves us. Everywhere you go, there are Filipinos. Everywhere, man. Literally everywhere, there are Filipinos. I think the only place where there's no Filipino is in the North Pole. And so, therefore, we have, as a nation and as a culture, we have a call from the Lord, I believe, that it's time for us Filipinos to see our part in the entire scenario, entire scheme of things, as far as the divine perspective of the world. Some of you wondering why some of your relatives are abroad, working abroad. Who among you here, you have relatives working abroad? Raise your hands. Look around. You know why? Maybe there's a divine reason why most of our relatives are abroad working. We truly have apostolic faces. Look at the person next to you right now. Say, you're apostolic. You have an apostolic face. Does he look like Bruce Lee too? Okay, the other one looked like Jet Li. But anyways. Now, Jesus himself, now I have taken the time to explain who we are, but I'd like us to know Jesus's way and strategy in order to convince this little band of brothers, disciples, 12 of them, in order for them to learn how to think right. You know, because Jesus he was nailed on the cross, he was buried. After 3 days, he rose again from the dead. And from that time before he ascended into heaven, there were around 40 days that he has to spend time with his disciples, with his newly, you know, pierced hands and feet. And he walked around with the disciples, started talking with them, giving them free breakfasts, you know, multiplying, you know, and so on and so forth, and just blessing them and convincing them in 5 different settings, just to explain to them, to help them understand the Great Commission, why the commission is so great. It took Jesus 5 appointments in 5 events, explaining one Great Commission in 5 different ways. He was so gracious enough and patient enough to bring the disciples into a place of understanding the Great Commission little by little. Why do I say this? Because their mindset was that if you want to know God, you go to Israel. And people from all over the place, those during the diaspora, while the Jewish people were spread out all over the world, they would go to Jerusalem and know and celebrate with fellow Jews. Their world is, this is a first century Jerusalem right here. This is their world. Yeah. Should there be other places? It would just be like the little province here and there. But this is their little world, the first century Jerusalem. So Jesus... The transition between Jesus to the disciples in 40 days. He has to go back to heaven forever and ever and sit at the right hand of the Father. But before he would do that, he has to bring the disciples first in a place of understanding. He tried doing that and he did that, discipled them for 3 years. But this time he was about to leave them, you know, the almost like the bucket lists. It's not, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, but there's only one item in the lists where he has to tell them and express that in 5 different ways within 40 days. So right the evening, right after the resurrection, he had an appointment with the disciples and he explained this to them. And Apostle John had the perspective on what he said during that first explanation. Let's look at John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus spoke to his disciples right after the resurrection, the night after the resurrection. He spoke to them and says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now that is a total paradigm shift in their mind, because he's saying, he did not say, "As the Father has sent me, so therefore stay where you are. And people will come to you and they flock to you and they'll be blessed as they come to you." No, 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 no. He says, "As the Father sent me from heaven, I am sending you out from this place. I am sending you." And so it was what? Now to you, to us, it's normal verse, but to them, it wasn't normal. They were still in shell shocked because of what had happened. A few days ago, their very own teacher was nailed on the cross. He was betrayed by one of them. You know what I'm saying? One of the disciples himself, you know, betrayed him. And one of the disciples denied him 3 times. The disciples were scattered all over the place because of fear for their lives. Then he was buried. They started going back to their old careers, fishing and so on and so forth. And then after 3 days, he arose again from the dead. He showed up in their small group. They were all shocked. Thomas was absent. Thomas couldn't believe. Remember that? And then Jesus, being so patient with the disciples, he has to show up again just for Thomas. So don't absent yourself in the victory group. Because when God shows up, you might miss it. But he's patient. He showed up to the next small group that they had and says, "Where is Thomas?" And Thomas this time was shocked. He got down on his knees and said, "Oh Lord, my God." Now, and he spoke to them, and it was just a small band of disciples, and explained to them, "You are called." They're still shell-shocked, and yet the Lord was patient to explain, "As I've been sent by the Father, I'm sending you." In other words, "I'm modeling this now. Watch me. You watch me for 3 years. Now I am sending you." "No, no, no. What about you, Lord?" "No, no, no, no. I'm going. You go." And then 8 days after this, now before we get there, some of us probably are in the same scenario. Some of you, you have to be convinced that truly you have an apostolic faith, that one day you'll be sent. Some of you, you might be thinking, "I'll go to this place, I go to that country, I go to this just to have a job, have a career." But some of you actually are going to be sent as tent makers, quote unquote, where you're going to be there, but you're actually going to go undercover to help plant the church. Some of you are going to be, people are going to be so attracted to you, you're going to start your own small group in these different nations. Some of you, people will come to you and ask of the hope that you have without even exerting too much effort. The Lord is going to use you. There was a guy by the name of Ruel Asuncion, one of our pastors in Tarlac. When he started the church, he was thinking, "This is it. I want to start I want to have a healthy church in Tarlac." But one night he was awakened by a dream. He woke up and he had this dream. He has 3 items in his dream. First was Dubai. He didn't even know what Dubai was and where it was. I don't think we had Google during that time in 1984, but 94. But he couldn't, you know, why Dubai? And then he had a vision of a dam breaking out because of too much water. And he had that in his vision. And then there's that word gateway. So he woke his wife up and they prayed and explained to her what's been going on in his mind, in his dream. So they prayed together. 3 days after that, we had a pastor's retreat. And as soon as they went to our pastor's retreat, Pastor Luther saw him. He saw Pastor Luther. Pastor Luther says, "Come, you know, the leadership team would come and talk to you." And says, "Oh, before you guys talk to me, I want to tell you first something that had happened to me 3 days ago." And says, "Sure, no problem." We met together with him, and here he was. The apostolic team says, "You know, we have something we'd like to present to you." He says, "Before you say that, I want to tell you first what the Lord has been, I believe, doing in my life." And so he explained what happened 3 nights ago. After explaining that, the Victory leadership team explained to him that we had a short list of 3 people and you're included there. And now you had this vision of Dubai. We're actually putting it on our list, and we have these 3 short list of people, and that includes you. And now you're telling us that the Lord spoke to you. And yes, and he explained that and says, "Well, guess what? This may be the Lord." And then they found out the time, I think around 3 hours before he had the dream, the apostolic team met together and started talking about these shortlists. And now, you know, the Lord truly spoke to him. Now, guess what? Several years later, our church now in Dubai has, they started with 30 Filipinos. Now there are 1,200 people attending every week in 5 weekend services in Dubai. Now we're talking about Middle East now. This is not, you know, Metro East. This is Middle East. It sounds, but it's totally different. You need a ticket to go there. Middle East. Okay, now, going back to Middle East. Now, 1,200 is a phenomenon in Dubai. And so that's the testimony of how the Lord changed his perspective. He thought he's just going to be the senior pastor of a church in a province. But the best person to be sent to the nations of the world, it should start from the senior pastor. So since Master Mark, you're a senior pastor, we're sending you to Metro East. Okay. Metris, we're just starting. Okay. And so that is our scenario. Now, let's go back to the map right now. And in order for us to really have a perspective of the world, it's like the map. And we're putting a part of the puzzle. There are 5 parts of the puzzle. We're putting a new part right here, just for us to have a better understanding as we look at these verses. The second verse I'd like you to see is the book of Mark. 16:15 says, go into all the world. Say, all the world. And preach the good news to where? To whom? All creation. This part of the Great Commission is answering the question where and who. Where? All the world. Who? All creation. Now, when we say all creation, we're not talking about your pet dog. There will be no dogs in heaven. Sorry for those of you who have pet dogs. You won't be able to see Choo Choo in heaven. Only human beings. When we talked about all creation, the Bible is talking about every breathing human being, whatever color of his skin, whether you are a normal, perfect human being or disabled, or you lack this and you lack that. Let me tell you, you are created in the very image of God, and the Bible calls you, all creation, and we are his creation, created in the image of God. Come on now. To all creation. And he says to preach the good news. Not just, in your office, just show them how sweet you are. Just close your mouth and let them watch you live your life. And pray for them in the corner. In 30 years' time, I'm sure one of them will get saved. No. The scripture did not say that. Though we should pray for them, though we should set an example for them, but the scripture clearly said, preach. How can you preach? We preach when we spend time to this word and we get to know Jesus. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you get so in love with him. And the more you get so in love with him, you can't help but speak. You can't help it. You are in love. Do you remember the first time you fell in love? Some of you thought you fell on holes. When I was in Central Park, I was walking with my daughter, and we were walking, enjoying the view of Central Park. Then we had to have somebody to get a picture of us, and we saw this couple, and we asked them, would you please take a picture of me and my daughter? My daughter is celebrating his 18th birthday, and we're just excited to be here from a little small island somewhere in Asia. Please take a picture of us, something like that. Anyways. I gave the camera and he took a picture of us, but the girl couldn't wait. After giving the camera back, he says, I'm engaged. Just 2 minutes ago. We're talking about a stranger. What did I do to you? She is so excited, so in love. A guy proposed to her in the middle of Central Park. She couldn't take it anymore. I gotta tell these brown guys, these brown people and folks, and tell them, I am engaged. Now, what about you? Are you so in love you cannot help but preach and tell the people around you to where? To everywhere. To whom? To anybody, including your favorite enemy. All the world, remember? Are they human beings? Now, they look like they're not when you're angry, but they are. Come on. So let's go back to the map right now. The old first century map. That's the other part. Now it's getting there. It's becoming clearer. As Jesus would explain to them a part here and change their mindset. And then he told them where and whom. And now it's becoming clear. And then he gave another verse. One of the most comprehensive verses regarding Great Commission in the Bible. Matthew 28. And it says there, therefore, go and make what? Disciples. He didn't say, go and make fans out of them. Go and make your own. No, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll be with you always at the very end of the day. Let me tell you this. This is the most comprehensive part of the Great Commission because he has shared, he's basically telling us the four E's. Go, it says, engage. And make disciples. What are you going to do? Make disciples of all nations. What are you going to do? Baptizing them. Establish them in the faith. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Equip. There's no equipping if there's no teaching. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you to do. There's an equipping part. Then it says, I will be with you always. And that is in power. And so comprehensive of a Great Commission that he basically told us the methodology of Great Commission. He has asked us to go make this. He didn't say, go and make converts. He didn't say just go and preach and go home. We've sent yesterday a team of short-term missionaries to Cambodia. But preaching is not enough. Preaching is just the start. But discipleship is the goal. And as far as nations are concerned, it says make disciples of all nations. A pastor by the name of Antonio Figueroa, he is our pastor in in Colombia, okay, a certain town, okay, Fusa Gasugsa, okay, and in that place he decided in that small place in Colombia and Latin America to buy this sabungan cockpit. He bought a cockpit and he turned it to become an every nation church. Talking about discipling the nation. This pastor didn't go to the mall just like us. He went where the people are in that city and community in Colombia, turned that cockpit to become... Is it not a nice place for a church? Now remember, in Sabungan, in a cockpit, there is a Cristo there. And I was asking some of the Sabungero experts. We asked them, explain to us, why did you call the guy Cristo? You know, one word, trust. We trust the guy. No lists. They can run if they want. Isubukan nila, sinabi, oh, pag nagsenya silang ganyan, alam niya na kung magkano eh. Na alam niya rin yung mukha. Kahit mukhang Bruce Lee lahat yung mga yan, memorize niya. Memorize niya what you promised by words. If you mention 1,000 pesos, alam niya na yun. Hahanap niya siya ngayon sa kabila ng katapat mo. Pagtingin niya, op. He memorized it all. Now, pag natalo yung manok mo, bayad ka. They all throw that money back to you. And the Cristo will get the money, he'll get his cut, and give back to the guy who won. Now, if you catch it, and it's not yours, give it to the one who really... Honesty, man. In Sabungan. Buti pa sa Sabungan, may trust, ano? But anyways, to cut the story short, do you know that there was a international memory championship recently, and the guy who won was a Filipino? And not only that, he was a former Cristo. And not only that, right after the service in the 4 o'clock, the uncle approached me. He's a member of our church here. The uncle. And not only that, this guy actually came to know Christ in 1992. Now he found the real Christ. The real Christ is not only memorized all your bets, not only memorized all your faces, not only memorized the number of hair you have on your head. He knows everything about you, man. His name is Jesus Christ. We can trust him. We can trust him. Anyways, discipling the nation. We're talking about the methodology in making disciples in Great Commission, that is to make disciples. Say, make disciples. Make disciples. That's our heart as a movement. Victory Metro East is about honoring God and make disciples. You don't have to make it so complicated. We make disciples, but we give God the honor. But we make disciples. We make disciples, we honor God. It's just a combination of both. That's who we are and that's our heart. Now, let's go back to the map. And you look at the map, now it's becoming clearer. Two more. The other one here is found in this passage of scripture. Right after Matthew, we have Luke 24, 47. Repentance, let's all read this together. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in to all nations. What is the message of the Great Commission? It's so clear. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. I don't care what color of skin you have. I don't care if you're black, if you're dark, if you're fair-skinned, and you've injected yourselves with all the glutathione available in the face of the earth. You may be yellow, you may be brown, you may be whatever color of skin you have. Let me tell you this. We are all in the same plane in the eyes of God. We all need God's forgiveness of sins. And we have become recipients of the forgiveness and the kindness of God. Don't you appreciate that you have received forgiveness of sins in the past? The Lord is good. Can we just give Him a big, big applause this evening for the message of the gospel has changed our lives forever. That's the message of the gospel. What is the message of the gospel? Repent and the forgiveness of sins. I don't care who you are. You might say, I don't need anything. You have a need. Forgiveness of sins. It's only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why that commission is great. Because of its message. The message of liberation and freedom. Freedom from the enemy's claws and suppression. Freedom from guilt and sin. That is the message. And we don't have to be. Some of you, you just don't know what to say. What am I going to share? Please share, you know, share your heart. What am I going to say? Just tell them what happened to you. Your testimony is your unique contribution to the gospel. And this is the gospel right here, that Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins so that we can have a relationship with God again that has been lost in that garden when Adam and Eve was there in that garden. And that is the part of the puzzle right there. Let's go back to the part of the puzzle. It's becoming clear. It's not just the first century Jerusalem, but now we're seeing a clearer and clearer picture. And the people were so excited. The disciples were ready to go. They were, man, we're ready to conquer the world. They're so excited. Now they saw the relevance of Him being raised from the dead. That the, you know, the power of the resurrection is not only designed for the Jews, but it's designed to every human being, including the Filipinos. And true enough, they were so excited. But Jesus has to tell them, wait for me. But we want to go now. But wait, tarry for me, tarry. And so they waited. 120 of them in the upper room started waiting and praying and praying. And then the Lord showed up and Pentecost came about. The Holy Spirit came forth. Acts 1 verse 8. And this is what it says. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my what? Witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Say ends of the earth. They caught it. They realized this is not just about Jerusalem. This is about the ends of the earth. During their time on the ends of the earth, it's only up to a certain place. But now it's not just a certain place. It's to the ends, as in ends of the earth. The people that probably you don't like their food. You don't necessarily like the color of their skin. You don't necessarily like their smell. You don't necessarily like whatever their attitude and their culture. You don't necessarily like their food. But Christ died for all of them. And He called them and says, wait for me because I'm going to empower you through my Holy Spirit. I want you to lift up your hands right now. Father God, these hands are going to be hands of signs and wonders and miracles. Let healing flow through these hands. Let there be comfort. Let there be healing. Let there be, Lord God, reconciliation. Let there be encouragement. Lord, these are our hands. We dedicate them to You. Let there be provisions. Let there be gifts, spiritual gifts that will be imparted. We receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Aren't you excited about that? Signs and wonders, miracles, spiritual gifts. Through now, going back to the picture, let's look at the picture right now. It's an apostolic face right there. It's a map of the world. Let this face be a face, really an apostolic face. Because it's not a painting of the map of the world, but it's painted in our hearts. Because the Lord has just imparted to us through His verses in five different ways. As much as He has changed the mindset of the small band of disciples, I hope that He has changed through the Holy Spirit our perspective about the nations of the world. We can all be part of that. Are we there yet? The only way to get there is to go and tell. I want you to bow down your heads and close your eyes as Pastor Mark will help me explain to us how to go and tell. Father God, the question that we are facing today, are we there yet? Lord, we realize through these verses, the way you've explained to your disciples, so patiently explained to them, you're explaining it to us as well today. Are we there yet? The only way to get there is to go and tell. And there are ways how to do that. And Lord, open our hearts. We want to be at the thick of what you're doing in the kingdom of God. Here we are, Lord, use us in whatever way, in whatever part of going or telling, starting from where we are, starting in our own sphere of influence, going outward. In Jesus' name, we give you glory. In Jesus' name.